You are now listening to the Life Podcast with Pastor Kenneth Murray of A Place of Refuge Church in the city of Rome, Georgia. Our church vision is to make people productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. If you are in the Rome area, visit us on Sundays at 10:15 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7:15 p.m. Now let's join Pastor Murray with today's message to help you possess life in full effectiveness.
Luke chapter number 24. If you got it, let me hear you say, I got it. Luke 24, we're going to look at verse number 46. This is Jesus talking to his disciples right before he ascended back to heaven. Again, the setting is Jesus has died. He's resurrected. He's having a final ministry meeting, a leadership meeting, if you will, before he ascends back to heaven. So verse number 46 of chapter 24 here in Luke. It reads, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he tells them, and you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, Jesus continues. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father. Somebody say the promise. The promise. Jesus say, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But wait or tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. To be endued means to be clothed, to put on. The Lord is telling his disciples, if you just let your imagination go there, if you were in that meeting, Jesus is reminding them of everything that took place, and he's telling them what needs to take place moving forward. He says, look, I want you to repent. I want you to preach repentance and remission of sins, just like you have been witnessing. But first, I'm sending the promise, and I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And again, to be endued means to be clothed, to put on power. Somebody say power. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. They walking now. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. Returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They excited, right? And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for this morning and this wonderful service. Lord, everything has been great, and we appreciate you for just everything you do for us. Lord, anything we offer to you, it's all birthed from you, our creativity, our talents, everything, God. In this moment, we cast our crowns before you, saying and recognizing that we are who we are because of you, and you deserve all the credit, Lord, all the glory. Lord, anything that we can say good about ourselves, we got enough sense to give you the credit for it. So we, in this moment, give you credit for all good things. Continue to have your way in our lives. Continue to bless your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen and amen again. Our topic this morning is endued with power. Endued with power. If you don't mind, just tell your neighbor, just tell them the topic this morning. Endued with power. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for the topic this morning. Hallelujah. Endued with power. Again, like I stated, to be endued means to be clothed, to have put on. And of course, Jesus is telling his disciples that I want you to put on some power. I want you to be clothed in power. That means your total being. And he was using this example to let us know, as well as his disciples, that wherever you go, whatever you do, you have the power of God, the miraculous ability in all that you do. Miraculous ability, miraculous strength, a miraculous mindset that you know that God is moving. You know that God will move. So no matter what we face, we always hold on to God's unchanging hand. The opposite of that is to faint, to lose heart, to give up. And I'll be the first one to admit that without the Holy Ghost, we will give up without the power of God working in us. Sometimes we need God help just to do what we know we need to do that's beneficial to us. Y'all ain't talking to me. We have to cry out to God like the man in Mark chapter number 9, the father who cried out, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." He came to Jesus for help, but in the midst, Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And he said, "I do believe, but help the part of me that's not believing." So I'm coming to you needing you to help me, but in the midst of me asking you for help, I need you to help me to believe that you can help me. So we need the power of God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? In marriage and family and all that you do, if you ever get the big head and think that you don't need God's help, you're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to stay defeated. You're going to go around in cycles and circles that God perhaps never intended for you to go through. Now, we have to go through certain things because that's the way God causes us to mature. That's the way God causes us to grow up. That's the way God causes us to develop. And all our development, yes, it is for our own benefit, but you got to bear in mind your development is also for God's ministry and his purpose. God will put difficult people in our lives in order to cause us to see the depravity in us, in order for us to cause us to see and understand the grace of God so that we can extend more grace. Amen. So we need God's help. And we know we've been talking about the benefits and the need for us to sow into the spirit, to do what God would have us to do, whatever God suggests, whatever God commands, whatever God tells us to do. When we find ourselves obeying and doing it, that is to sow into the spirit. And if we continue to sow into the spirit, the Bible says that we're going to reap a harvest. And that harvest is called what? Due season. When God turns situations around, when God causes the impossible to come to pass, when God, you've been turned down, you've been told no, you've been told this ain't gonna work and that ain't gonna work, but because you've been sowing into the spirit, God changes all that in a matter of moments. Am I talking right? Anybody ever experienced the miraculous before, whether it's in your body, in your money, in a situation, and even to today, you can't fully explain how God caused a situation to work out, but won't God bring forth due season? You got to believe in that, child of God. Whatever God has put in your heart as a result of the word, where God is telling you, you can have this, you can accomplish that. And some of the things that we want is not material. Some of the things we want is relational. And God is saying you can have it, but you got to keep sowing to the spirit. You got to stop quitting when it gets tough. You got to keep going. You can't grow weary and doing good. And all of us can relate to throwing in the towel and quitting. And it's not like God say, okay, you didn't like that test, I'll remove it. You find yourself having to go right back through that same test again because God is trying to develop our character. Amen? Amen. So sowing into the spirit is a benefit. Turn with me to Galatians 6. I won't do season in my family. I won't do season in my marriage. I won't do season in ministry. I want to see God move and bless. I won't do season financially, I want it in my relationships, I want it professionally, I mean, in every way, amen? First Lady and I was talking, and I was telling her many of the things, and I don't say this to disrespect my parents at all or to put them down, but there are many things that I learned in coming up about, you know, family and relationships that I learned from television shows, because we ain't had it at my house. Come on here, talk to me. All you Cosby Show watchers. All you, any of y'all Leave It to Beaver watchers? Anybody watch Leave It to Beaver? How they, from Leave It to Beaver, I learned, man, that's how a house ought to be kept. neat. And my mama would testify that growing up, the whole house may be a mess, but Kenny room was going to be put together, because I learned from Leave It to Beaver. And watching the Cosby Show, I used to always think that's how it's supposed to be, man. Everything is supposed to be. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? And that was in my heart. And then lo and behold, I messed around and got saved and realized that God come that I might have life in it more abundantly. So it took my expectation to a whole nother level, that not only can we be productive naturally, as you would see on a wholesome television show, but this is the wish of God, and it's actually attainable. Not only is it the wish of God, but God will help us to accomplish that. Now the question comes, who really believes that? Who really believes that God wants us to have a wholesome life in every way, due season? Let's look at Galatians. Y'all got it? Chapter number 6. I'm excited about due season, because God, what God said, he wants us to experience it. What God promised, he wants us to live it. What God says we can have, he wants us to have it in every way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's no good just to have stuff together financially, but in every other way we're a wreck. That's trash. I don't want to have every other thing together, but financially, I'm a wreck. I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be relationally and socially together, but other stuff, no. I'm working the whole room. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm cleaning up this corner. I'm going to make up the bed. I'm getting stuff from underneath the bed. Y'all know, y'all who like to sweep stuff under the bed and act like it ain't there? No, that ain't due season. I'm trying to get everything together. Y'all ain't amening, but I'm talking right. Everything, every corner, every facet. Start from the furthest corner and work your way back to the exit of the room. And that way you know you've cleaned everything up. Ooh. Do you do that in your life? Do you start from the furthest corner and work your way back to the exit of the room so you can say, yes, in fact, everything is clean? Or do you throw everything under the bed in the closet, close the door, and be like, it's clean now? What you doing with your life? It's your life. Is your life. Let's read here. Verse number 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall. It's going to happen. We're going to reap if we don't lose heart. Saints, don't quit. Don't quit. Watch who you're associating yourself with. You around other losers? You better step out from around them. You around folks who like to quit? You better get away from them. You around folks who like to pull mouth and cry and complain and always talk about what ain't going good? You better get around from them. You got to live your life. And what God is promising is not some pipe dream. It's true. You can have it. Me and this girl used to always be at each other's neck. Always got something going on. Always can't get along. Always fussing. Always mad. But somebody had to stop and look at the word and decide we're going to do what God saying us do. Because in church, we look hallelujah in it high. But we had to decide to do what we've been telling other folks to do. Believe God for due season. Y'all ain't talking to them. Believe God for the change. Don't convince yourself that, yeah, as long as everything looks good. Just don't open that closet, though. Don't look under the bed now. No, we want it to be real. And I'm telling you, just as sure as I know my name, that it can be real for you. It shall be real for you if you don't. You're the only one that can control that. I can't control it for Elder. He can't control that for me. I can't control it for Joe. He can't control it for First Lady. We are the only ones individually who can control that. God ain't going to control that for us. You got to decide, I'm going to do what's right and quit playing games. And quit acting like we don't know that we fainting. Am I fainting? Is I? You know you fainting. If you ain't sowing into the spirit, you fainting. If you're disobeying the word, clearly you fainting. And you can't receive what God desires you to receive. To faint means to give up due to exhaustion. You ever been exhausted? Just thought, I don't even care no more. Whatever. You ever just threw in the towel due to exhaustion? Just fainting. You ever been in a place where you wishing for rest and you can't see rest coming? No way. All you see is like Like, I'm tired. I'm hurting. I'm wishing for rest, and I don't see. That's what it is to start fainting. You ever become spiritless? Spiritless, meaning your human spirit, your expectation is gone. And not only spiritless from personal expectation, but spiritless as it relates to the Holy Spirit, that there's no fire in you urging you to keep moving, keep going. That's what it is to faint. Fainting takes place sometime between when God pronounced what he wants to do and it come to pass. Just like I'm telling you, God want to bless us in so many ways. That's a pronunciation of due season. Well, you're going to have to leave here and live your life. So when you leave here, just because I said it, your life may still look the same. Some of the folks you deal with may get a little bit worse in their behavior. But nevertheless, due season has it manifest. So that's where fainting begins to take place. God gives me the promise. It hasn't happened. And then these things start to wait on me. But the antidote, what you have to do is be resilient and keep sowing into the spirit. When we quit, we don't win anyway. So you might as well keep sowing to the spirit. That's right. How many of y'all ever quit before? You ain't got to raise your hand. When I quit on God, I still ended up in a mess. It still didn't work out. I came to the conclusion that I might as well stick with the Lord all the way and see how this thing will work. Because clearly when I quit, it definitely 100% of the time do not work out. And sometimes when I get into my own way and start trying to help God out, it gets worse. You ever been there before? That you turn a bad situation. I'm already broke, but I'm going to First Financial, First Franklin. Now I'm about to get a little bit more broker. Y'all ain't talking to me. I done been there. Come on, let me talk. Let me go ahead and testify. I already ain't got enough to pay what I got to pay. But they'll give me $1,500. And you know how they are. I give you $1,500 today. You give me $12,000 next week. Yeah. I'd have been the First Franklin two times, at least in my life. Long shorts. Y'all don't know nothing about that. They got in a bigger mess. Now they calling my phone. Hey, look, they done called UPS before. Ooh, First Franklin called up here for you. Oh, Lord have mercy. They made it worse. I had to learn. Pump the brakes. What I'm doing ain't working. It's not that it is not working. When you get to that degree, it ain't working. You feel me? It's a difference. Isn't working is like it's kind of moderate. Ain't working is like we in a bad predicament. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Lord have mercy. Due season represents the following. Check it out. One's own distinct and personal harvest. One receiving personal and divine blessings when God turns a situation around for us. God blessing and answering your prayer. God giving us our heart's desire. Now, understand this like we just learned from Cain now. Ain't no need for us to be praying these all deep prayers and you crying. And you know God is saying you need to clean out from underneath that bed, though. And you still, and you can holler and do everything you want to at the house and all up here. And the Lord is like, yeah, that's a good cry. That was a good cry you did. But if you do right, won't it be well with you? You can do all that, but don't remove the responsibility that God is saying, yeah, I need you to clean that closet out, though. I need you to clean up under that bed, though. You know what I'm saying? And don't get mad at the preacher because I'm saying it, because I'm going to say it. Amen? Because I ain't trying to be on his bad side. I won't do season. And if he tell me, yeah, you need to clean out that trunk of that car, though. You need to clean out this part of your life. If he tells me that, I won't do season enough to, hey, this is part of sowing into the spirit. This is part of sowing into the spirit. And whatever I need to do, I'm going to do it. What about you? I don't want to mess myself up. And I want the testimony. I want to be able to stand before you respectedly or in a respectful manner. I want to be able to stand before you and tell you I kept the faith. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to stand before you and tell you that it works. I got it right. I want to be able to stand before you and tell you, yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was difficult, but I stuck with God. I kept sowing into the faith. I don't want it to be where I'm just putting on a good image and it looks right. Y'all feel what I'm talking about? But for real, I know if we do what the Bible says, it'll be real. You know what I'm saying? Just do what the Bible says. Sow into the Spirit. Now, in Luke, Jesus pronounces due season over them. Let's turn back to Luke 24. And look what Jesus says here. I gotta have it. Luke chapter number 24. Now, look what he says here in verse number 49. He says, look, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. He's like, listen, I want y'all to preach repentance. I want y'all to preach the removal of sins. That is grace. I want you to preach it. But before you preach, I want you to know I'm going to give you the gift, the promise, so that your preaching won't be in vain. Amen. Because Jesus knowing y'all boys about to go through it. It sounds good. Even when they left, the Bible talks about how excited they are. And I can imagine Jesus going back to heaven. Boy, they don't even know what they about to go through. But they're going to have some power. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all ain't talking to me. Amen. Jesus said, look, you will get houses and land and family and this with persecution. So God is going to bless us and God is blessing us. But it ain't going to be a bed of roses all of the time. So Jesus is telling them and pronouncing due season upon them. And I want you to understand, Jesus had been preparing them before this moment. Before he met with them, this last leaders meeting, he had been preparing them prior to that conversation. Now, hey, look, I'm trying to leave little nuggets so y'all to know what's about to go down. Turn with me to St. John, chapter number 14. Do y'all see Jesus pronouncing a blessing over them and what's going to take place? What I want you to see now is how Jesus was preparing them for that moment. St. John, chapter 14, verse number 25. St. John, chapter 14, verse number 25. If you got it, let me hear you say, I got it. All right. So look how Jesus, prior to that meeting in Luke, he's having this conversation with the disciples. He says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you how many things? How many things? How to deal with this situation that I've never faced before. Is that, would that be considered part of all things? How to deal with this person right here. Would that be considered all things? Amen. All things. He's saying the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Everything. No stone shall be unturned in our lives if we give space to the Holy Ghost. On the other hand, if we just play around and think I ain't that big of a deal, what's going to happen in your life is you're going to live beneath your privilege and you will never experience the life God intended for you to have. And there'll be people all around you who do hear and receive, and you'll start seeing their life change for the better. Why? It's up to you. You're the only one that can control that. You're the only one. I'm the only one that can be serious for our own come up. How many of y'all want to come up from God? I'm the only one. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I think about these things that I'm getting involved in with real estate. I know exactly what I need to do in order to have the income that I want to have monthly. You know, I want at least $12,000 monthly income to start off. I really do. And I want it by the time I retire from UPS. So that tells me I need to have this many doors of real estate. So that's in my heart what's going to make me wealthy and cause my family to experience generational wealth. I ain't scared to say it because I'm sowing in the Spirit. I ain't got to try to force it. I ain't got to get out the will of God. This is something I'm trying to do to make my life and my family life better. And I believe this is what the Lord would have me to do. Now, my question to you is, what is your vision? What are you trying to accomplish? Not only for me and my family, but if I'm able to do that and God calls us that thing to continue to grow, what would I be able to do for the kingdom of God? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Let's do simple math. $12,000 a month plus a pension plus debt free. Oh, man, you could do all kinds of things. Y'all see what I'm saying? You and I have to be serious enough, and I'm not trying to talk over your head, But it's pivotal for us to become more serious about God, what God wants to do in our lives. Otherwise, we'll be fumbling around while other folks are being serious and time is passing us by. And what the time that we could have had this, this, and that accomplished, we'll be just getting started. And it'll be our own choice. Amen? Look what Jesus tells him. He says, look, he's going to teach you again all things. Look at St. John chapter number 16. And I'll tell you as the pastor, I'm just going to tell y'all straight up. Some of y'all, you play too much. You ain't serious enough about God. Not to get what you need. You ain't serious enough. You still stuck in whatever you stuck in. You got to get serious. And can't nobody do that for you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I can't do that for you. I can preach it and model it, but that has no bearing on you actually putting your foot to the work. Y'all see, y'all know where I'm coming from? And I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to be like I'm high and mighty. That is not what I'm saying. As blessed as our bishop is, as blessed as he is, I admire it. I'm like, man, that's what's up. Okay. I appreciate it. But listen, that by itself has no bearing on what I do from a day-to-day basis. Especially if I'm saying out of my mouth what God has done for one, he'll do for another. If I'm not putting stuff in practice. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, going through what God desires you to do, you do it in silence. And then 2 or 3, 4, 5, 7 years later, you coming out. But it looks like you just came out, but folks don't know. You've been doing this for 8 years. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Obeying God from the beginning. The Holy Ghost will tell you exactly what to do. Amen. 16. St. John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Remember, the Lord told Cain, look, if you do well, I mean, won't you be accepted? So the Lord Jesus is telling the saints of God, listen, the Holy Ghost is going to help you do well. The Holy Ghost is going to help you sanctify yourself, set yourself apart. The Holy, y'all know it, even in church, you got to separate. It ain't just from the world. Y'all, as folks, as you get accustomed to, you'll be able to quickly realize, yeah, he ain't serious about the Lord. I can't be tight with her. She ain't serious about the Lord. You will know. Y'all don't like me saying that in a small church. I like what Elder Will said. We ain't but 50 soaking wet. But even in that 50, it's your life. It's your life. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be serious about, unapologetically serious too. And when you start blossoming, folks are going to say what they got to say about you. Hey, say it. Nevertheless, I'm just over here in due season. What about you? That's what you say. That need to be your, well, I'm just over here in due season. You know, what about you? Amen. Look, he says here, for if I don't go away, verse 7, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is just. The Holy Ghost covers every part of our life. You know that? Do you realize that? The Holy Ghost tells us how to talk, how to behave, how to present ourselves. If we give him space. And the more we give him space, the more you'll be able to see, you and I be able to see areas where, oh yeah, you start looking good and respectable to the Lord, but while you're doing that, you see areas of your life where perhaps you were not doing as well. Amen? Until the Holy Ghost helped you to do better. Amen? Verse number 11, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into how much truth? Relational truth, right? Yeah. Social truth. Mm-hmm. Let me ask y'all this. Those of you, I know you filled with the Holy Ghost. Those of you who are, I know this be true. Has the Lord ever told you to leave somebody alone? Mm-hmm. Hey, leave them alone. Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost. Yeah. Look, leave them alone. Lord, the Holy Ghost told me, you need to leave that family. You need to leave them alone. Leave them alone. Stop. In church, look, leave them alone. At work, stay away from them folks. He's guiding you into all truth. But if we don't conscious of the Holy Ghost, you can get your spirit all cloudy because you are in relationship with folks that the Lord don't even want you close to. The Lord don't even want you down like that. The Lord is trying to make you special. And there, you got to understand this. All of us are going to go through this phase multiple times. As you grow, as we grow in God, there are times God don't want you around everybody. There are times God wants you for a season to him where you constantly fasting. God is telling you constantly fast. You constantly praying. Folks be like, where you been? Man, I've been good. How you doing? And God ain't telling you to explain your situation. Y'all ever been there before where you feel the need to explain why you being consecrated to the Lord? So you try not to look weird, but perhaps the Lord wants you to be in that space right there. Just be obedient to me. And as you are in that space of solitude before God, God starts grooming us and making us better until he brings us forth. And the more you grow in God, you're going to go through seasons like that. But if you don't give God that space, you ain't going to never grow. God may have you 11 levels and you may be right there at level number 3. Because y'all know when we first get saved, we down for whatever. Huh? Come on here, Jesus, whatever you want me to do. Then we can get comfortable. Huh? And we stop going to Jesus, you know, like we need to. And there you are. In 1 year, you could have went through 3 levels. And now, let's say a person in year 5 to 7, they stay in the same level. They not stealing away and connecting to the Lord, letting the Holy Ghost lead them into all truth. Amen. He wants to guide you into all truth. Verse 13 again. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. You do not owe anybody an explanation unless God tells you to give an explanation. And those of us who are spirit-filled, spirit-led, you know that certain things you may want to ask a person, the Holy Ghost be like, don't ask them, because the Lord got them in that solitude place. You know what I'm saying? And you haven't been in that place of solitude. You already know what's up and what's understood. Don't have to be spoken. You know what I'm saying? You can discern, oh yeah, God dealing with them. God got them in that place where he's trying to trim the fat off of them. Amen? Amen. And the Lord will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Again, you go back to going to the secret place and knowing the voice of God, that takes a level of discipline that you got to be willing to have in your life where you know the voice of God. I mean, where you know God is telling you, don't go over there. Don't chill. See, we be wanting to know the voice of God when it comes to something elaborate and deep. But I'm telling you, following the Lord is simple. And the more we are obedient to the Lord, the better our ear becomes sensitive to God, the better we can hear him in minor things as well as major things. I'm not trying to make you be all spooky and go around like folks be like, something told me. I don't know what it was. I don't know why. You know how folks be trying to get deep. I don't know why I'm saying this, but the Lord told me to. You know folks be, that ain't what I'm talking about. So don't get it twisted. It's real simple. It's isolating yourself so the Holy Ghost can deal with you. You can hear the voice of God and you move forward. And that takes some irregularity in your life. You ain't gonna never be who God wants you to be if you are determined to be regular. I want to be just like everybody else. Well, you're gonna be just like everybody else. I like the statement Dave Ramsey says. He's talking about finances, but this is true spiritually. You got to live like nobody else so you'll be able to live like nobody else. Your relationship with God would be so precious and so pure and so just on point because you went through the phase of isolating yourself, learning the voice of God, letting the Holy Ghost, having yourself open to God so he can deal with you wherever you are. And then your lifestyle will be like nobody else's. Amen. It's going to be so unique, so pure, so awesome. So just, it's great. It's great. Now, let me get ready to close. Endued with power. Power has to do with dunamis, strength, ability, fortitude. That's divine and from heaven. So remember, Jesus told them, look, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Not your own strength, not your own ability, but this power that's coming from heaven. Kenny Murray, I want you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to have this power from on high. Yes, you're going to speak in tongues, but not only that, but I want you to learn how to act right when you're at your house. You need the Holy Ghost because you ain't going to act right on your own. I need you to follow instructions, Kenny Murray, because in your own self, you too ambitious, and you will have seven things started and nothing completed. I need you to do, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Amen? And that's what he wants to do for us. Miraculous ability. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I want to show you these last three scriptures. Acts chapter 1. I got to have the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I really do. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, we just read that in the book of Luke. Remember, Jesus had that leaders meeting with them, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, these apostles, or Luke, is writing about this. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, having been seen by them during the 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, we read that, right? Mm-hmm. Right? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. He told them, go to Jerusalem and wait till you be endued with power from on high, correct? But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel or to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Now, the Lord has promised them due season, promised them what they need. He knows they're going to need the Holy Ghost to fulfill the promise in order to live out and experience due season. And here it's about to go down. Look at somebody say, it's about to go down. Here in the book of Acts, they are doing what Jesus told them to do back at the leaders' meeting. They're actually doing it. Amen. And the power of God is about to show up. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 2. For those of you who were here last Wednesday, you remember I said, go back and read Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. So you have a better understanding or better refresh yourself when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Now, that day has come. Somebody say, that day has come. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Just like we are here. I hope we all on one accord. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Jesus wanted them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. They went to Jerusalem. They have a prayer meeting. They all on one accord. And look what happens. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's give them a hand of praise. Let's give them a hand of praise. And the reason why we clapping for them is because, number one, we saw Jesus pronounce blessings upon them. Blessing plus the responsibility and what they need, right? We already understand due season that in order for us to experience that, we got to sow into the Spirit. We know that and not faint. In order for us to keep sowing in the Spirit and not quit, we got to get serious and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so we can have power that's above our own individual ability so that we won't faint and that we'll believe God that he can teach us in all areas of our life. Now, the question is there anybody who can stand for God to direct them in every aspect of their life? Is there anybody who can see the benefit of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and also letting him teach us? Because it ain't no need. It's not beneficial for us to come into the church, you on your prayer closet and you rattling off in tongues like a machine gun, but you don't correct character or you don't do the things that God is telling you to do. See, the Holy Spirit will teach us, and all we got to do is give him space. Lord, what'd you have me to do? Pray to the Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you for filling me with the precious Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, I want you to direct me and lead me through. Make that your habit. Make that your practice. And God will start dealing with you about whatever it is in our lives to make us better. Now, I'm going to close by saying every believer needs to be clothed with power. How many of y'all know that be true? Based upon the scripture, every believer needs to be clothed with power. Now, I'm not going to take you to the book of Acts 19, but you can read it on your own time, that there is a teaching that says a person automatically received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when they get saved. And again, that is not Bible. A person can be born again and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are three occurrences. We get saved, then we get the water baptism, and then there's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 39 of chapter number 2. This is where we're going to end it with. Y'all ready? I want you to read this out loud. Jesus called the Holy Ghost a promise, right? In Luke, the promise. Verse number 39 of Acts chapter 2. Ready? Go.
For the promise is to you.
Uh-huh.
And to your children.
And?
And to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God
calls. That's why I say the Holy Ghost, the power of God is for every believer who God calls. The power of God is for all of us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. And all we have to do is ask and receive and let him have his way. Now, we have to come before him sincerely. We have to come before him in expectation and with a desire. See, if I desire the Holy Ghost, which I do, that can affect you, but it ain't going to make you have a desire to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to come with your own desire and expectation. I gave the testimony of when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I came to the altar to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was up there just as cool as I want to be. And minister then was Minister Rod Benson at my mama's church. And he whispered in my ear. He asked me, he was like, you like sports? We at the altar now. I'm up at the altar. He was like, you like sports? And I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, how do you act when your team win and how you act at the ball game? So I opened my eyes and I was just like, man, when we win it, you know, I got into a straight up conversation. Mind you, I'm 19 years old. So I'm like, oh, we're going to talk about football up here? Okay. This is what he said. He said, the same way you would act with no fear and no shame in front of all those strangers at a game or whatever, you got to come before God with that same enthusiasm to let go and let God have his way. In other words, you're trying to be cool right here, but this is more important than any ball game or any team that you will root for. Likewise with us, when we come to the altar, when we come to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just the posture of your heart has to be sincere. Like, Lord, I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want you to fill me. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone who have listened attentively to your word.